I'm John Krall. We're going to talk about a program that has touched the lives of 100,000 Indianapolis residents today on No Limits. Many of those people have gone on to accomplish remarkable things. This year marks the 90th anniversary of the TAB Recreation Program sponsored by Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We'll talk with some folks who know the TAB Recreation Program well. John Byers, who was TAB Recreation Director from 1985 to 2006, current Director Ben Hughes, and Diane Foreman, mom and longtime TAB Recreation volunteer. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, Facebook is No Limits WFYI, Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. Today we're going to talk about an important program in Indianapolis that is recognizing a significant milestone, a 90th birthday this year. We're going to be talking about the TAB Recreation Program sponsored by Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. If you have been part of the program, and I know that some 100,000 Central Indiana residents have been in that 90 years, please feel free to call in and share your memories. The way to do that is by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, I'm joined in the studio today by three people who have different memories of TAB. All have been intimately involved in it, starting with John Byers, who was TAB Recreation Director from 1985 to 2006. We also have current Director Ben Hughes, who's been here since 2006, and Diane Foreman, who is a mom and longtime TAB Recreation volunteer. Welcome to all of you. It's good
Thank
to have you.
You. Thank you.
Glad good to be here.
Well, I'm going to start. I'll start with a mom here.
All right.
It's always good to start with mothers, I think. We'll start with a mom. Tell me a little bit about what the TAB Recreation Program is, and first tell me, though, how many of your kids went through it? I mean, how many kids do you have, and then how many?
Yes, I have three children. I have two sons, and I have a daughter, and all three have gone through the TAB Recreation Program. And myself, Army brat that traveled around coming to the city of Indianapolis, wasn't very familiar with the program. But when I got married, my husband, Nigel Foreman, who's also on staff with TAB Rec and is also an alumni of the program, said, we've got to get our kids in this program. So they've gone through basketball, football, as well as soccer and cheerleading.
Oh, boy. So
yes.
You've got and John, how many different sports does TAB do? Well, tell me a little bit. Give me an overview of what the program is, and then we'll get into the history.
Okay. Well, it's primarily an intramural league for elementary age kids. Youngest, 4 years old, I believe. Ben can confirm that, but I believe he has some programs that start that young and go up through 12, I think, in all leagues and beyond that in some. And kids register, are assigned to teams, and play an in-house intramural program for the most part. There are some exceptions, teams that play outside in other programs as well.
And how, you know, in terms of the genesis, Ben, of the program, I mean, 90 years is a long time, right?
It is.
So why could you tell me a little bit about how it got started? You know, why Tabernacle, and is it considered part of the church's ministry? I mean, is that the way they approach it?
It is part of the church's ministry. Actually, John probably could answer this question better than I, but I'll give it a stab.
Well, he's sitting right next to you.
So he is sitting right next to
another shot.
Maybe I'll, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It started in 1924 by a gentleman named J. Dwight Peterson. And the way I understand the story is the pastor at the time, Pastor Dunkel, handed him $50 and said, we want you to start recreation program.
And that how far would that buy you now?
not very far now. That's not even a football registration anymore. I think back then there were kids that used to sneak into the the church and play basketball in the basement area. And so that was sort of the genesis, I guess, of the program itself and why the pastor thought it would be a good idea to start one. Initially, it was basically a church program. So it was designed for the kids of the church. It has evolved over the years into being much more of a community program. And really today is almost 100% a neighborhood program.
How many young people do you have involved in the program right now?
We usually average about 1,800 a year. Right now we're in our football program, and we have a little over 500 football players. We'll start cheerleading in a couple of weeks. We'll have 30 or 40 cheerleaders. And then soccer will start in early August, and we'll have about 400 in that.
And I probably ought to, for those who aren't familiar, where Tabernacle Presbyterian Church is, what the John, and why this is important, why it was not effortless to get something like this off the ground.
Right. Well, the church and the recreation facilities are at the corner of 34th and Central, spanning over to 34th and Washington Boulevard. And the church located at that corner, and actually first presence there was in 1919. They built a small chapel, a Sunday school, and very quickly had, you know, just more kids than they could handle, and decided to move the church there from, I think it was 11th and Illinois at that time. Built the sanctuary in 1921. Rec program, as Ben said, started in 1924. That was actually 5 years before the gym wing of the church was completed.
So where did they play at the time?
Well, as he mentioned, the stories, the lore is that the kids played in the coal bin. There was certainly a coal bin because it was coal-fired boilers. Whether they actually played basketball there, I've been searching through photos and had hoped to find. I found a Sunday school that was meeting in the coal bin. I have a wonderful picture of that. But in the early years before our gym was finished, they played in a. I have pictures from 1930, which actually our gym would have been finished by then. But the team. The photos were in the West Gym of Hinkle Fieldhouse at Butler University. Mm-hmm. So we know that there were some other gyms around where they played.
Well, and how did it change? I mean, in 1924, 34th and Central actually would have been, a prosperous, thriving neighborhood. It was sort of the northern boundary of where the city's growth, you know, and you can tell obviously by the homes and all of that it was where the money in Indianapolis sort of had moved at that point. Obviously, in 90 years, things changed an awful lot. The money came, left, came back, and things have shifted around. Could you talk a little bit, John, I'll stay with you, about, you know, how that period, those nine decades, changed the way that they approached the rec league? Because it probably would have been primarily, since it started out as a church in a very prosperous neighborhood 90 years ago, would have been aimed at, you know, pretty much upper middle class kids. I'm guessing it's not so much now.
It's very diverse and has been since the middle to late 60s. The community program actually started in the late 40s, about 1948. The recreation director was away on vacation, and some of the men in the church said, you know, we've got this ball field and nobody using it. Let's invite some kids to come and see who shows up. And that was kind of the start of Twilight Baseball. Lots of kids showed up, and they really, before the summer was out, they had hundreds of kids that were playing regularly. So they carried that over into basketball, and the community program was born. But, you know, the migration in the neighborhood, the housing patterns certainly have changed and are still changing.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about the TAB Recreation Program at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church on its 90th anniversary. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have memories of being part of that program, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Our Facebook is No Limits WFYI, and you can find us on Twitter at WFYI. Well, you've had, out of those 100,000 people, you've got some alums who are pretty heavy hitters, people that we would know. Could you talk about some of the folks who have gone through the program, Ben?
Yeah, there for a while, it seemed like that all the prominent politicians here in Indianapolis were former alumni. Former Governor Mitch Daniels, who's now president of Purdue University, is alumni. And he and his family are still members of the church. Mayor Ballard is an alumni. Matter of fact, he was at our dedication service for our new field back in 08, and that's when we found out that he played. He actually brought a picture and circled himself in that picture.
Oh, wow.
And sent a nice letter, and it was really fun to see. New Pacer, George Hill is an alumni, and you know, I know John can tell lots of stories about him because he was there during most of the time that John was the director.
Okay.
So, yes, there's been a lot of big hitters.
Well, and I think you've had football players as well, right?
We did, yes.
Yeah. Mark Clayton, Roosevelt Colvin. Mark Clayton, of course, was part of the catching duo for Dan Marino and the
Duper
Dolphins.
And Clayton, yeah,
Mark Duper and Mark Clayton. When I was first at TAB as director, Mark Clayton was in Indianapolis to play the Colts and took our football players to the game. So that was my only opportunity to meet him because he had, you know, grown up and moved on by that time, but still remembered TAB and did a nice thing for a lot of young men.
How often do these folks come back? I mean, John, I'll start with you, since your history, and then I do want to hear some stories about what it was like playing with George Hill or having him on the court in a church league. I would think that might be a little intimidating for
her. It's always fun. Someone, just a complete stranger, will walk into the office, and they'll stand at the windows and just gaze out over the athletic field or stand and look over the gym, and then they'll start telling you about their childhood playing sports at TAB. Not long ago, I don't know, a month or so ago, this happened, and I don't know, Ben, if you were there, Steve Somerville, Ben's one of his assistants, was there. And this man turned out to be Randy Manier, former NFL player, now head of the NFL Alumni Association, I believe. You know, just a complete stranger one minute, and then one of our successful athletes out of the program when we found out who he was.
And tell me some stories about George Hill, since apparently you were there.
George lived at 34th and Meridian, just a couple of blocks west. And on Saturday mornings, I usually would arrive at TAB in the fall. I'd arrive as soon as it was light enough to start painting football lines on the field and getting things ready. And George would usually be there by that time and follow me right along. And when he was probably about 6 years old, he wanted to run the painter. And so I would let him paint for a while, and he was like that the whole way through. It didn't matter what we were doing, if we were cooking hot dogs, selling soft drinks out of the concession stand, running the scoreboard or the time clock, officiating, if there was a vacancy to be filled on a team, George was there all day and wanted to do it all.
Diane, what do your kids get out of the experience there? I mean, do they enjoy going? Or
they enjoy going. My children are grown now. I have a 25-year-old, a 22-year-old, and a 20-year-old. Just recently, my 20-year-old is actually playing football for Kentucky State University, and he comes back during the summer and helps out with the Seville camp. And he was just sharing with me the other day that he said, there was a young man that was a part of the Pee Wee League that he's just been kind of following along the way. And this particular year, the young man came up to him and said, "Do you know you're my hero? You know, I really look up to you." And you just think about the impact that Tab has had on individuals that are passing it on to the next generation. And that's very profound. And this is the life lessons that my children have learned both on the field and off the field because of great coaches and great volunteers. And I know that they have long-standing friendships and relationships and mentors with the men and women that have been there at TAB with them.
We are talking about the 90th anniversary of the TAB Recreation Program at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can email nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the 90th anniversary of the TAB Recreation Program, sponsored by Tabernacle Presbyterian Church here at 34th and Central in Indianapolis. My guests are John Byers, who was TAB Recreation Director from 1985 to 2006, current director Ben Hughes, who's been there since 2006, so between the two of them, they account for nearly a third of TAB's history, and Diane Foreman, who's a mom and longtime TAB recreation volunteer. Well, just before we went to the break, Diane was talking about, you know, the benefits that her kids got out of it and that sense of connection to community. I'd like for you to talk, John and Ben, both of you, I'd like for each of you to talk about, we'd established that TAB, it's part of the church's ministry. Exactly what it is you're trying to impart, what you want the young people who take part in the program to get other than, you know, an opportunity to go out and sweat and play. What approaches might be different, for example, in the way you do baseball than, say, Little League or whatever it might be. Ben, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I guess the main difference between maybe our program and other programs is we are a faith-based program, which means you know, prayer becomes an important part of everything we do. We also do some devotional programs during a season. It's Diane's husband that happens to be our chaplain. He was a former pastor and is a associate pastor at New Air Baptist, and he serves as the TAB Recreation Chaplain. And so he spends a lot of his time, you know, dealing with various issues that kids, coaches, parents might be experiencing, and so those are our main differences, I think.
What is it? I mean, do you play Little League? Like, if you play baseball, do you play Little League baseball rules? Do you use metal bats for the different things? I know.
That actually is one of the sports we do not play. If you go back in our history, we used to play softball.
And baseball.
Baseball. I'm sorry. I guess we did play baseball.
Yeah, because I saw on the fact sheet that you did have baseball listed at one point.
I actually didn't know that. We in 2008, we were blessed with a new football field. So we have an artificial football field there at 34th and Central. And that was basically put in by the community. And we got money from the NFL through an NFL Fields grant. And so at that time, we stopped playing baseball and started focusing on other field-based sports, soccer, football. Those are the two main ones. And so we stopped playing. But we do follow the same types of rules that you see in all football programs, except that our requirements for coaches might be a little different.
In what ways?
Well, we're looking for Christian men, for example. Not that you have to be a Christian in order to be a volunteer coach, But if you're not, then we certainly are going to provide you with the help you need in terms of presenting the gospel to the kids.
Okay, and that is part, presenting the gospel is part of it?
It is part of our program.
Okay, and how do you in terms of presenting the gospel?
Well, most of it comes through really our attitudes and what people see within our coaches and our administration. Some of it comes from devotional materials, and some of it just comes through the fact that we put a high priority on prayer.
Mm-hmm. My children have gone through, I live further north, and have gone through a similar program that, when we were talking off the air, you said is almost like an offshoot, the First Baptist one.
Great program.
Yeah, at 86th and College. And one of the things that impressed me, the reason I was kind of asking that question, is that they have a parent's code of conduct, mm-hmm. too, there, that, you know, it's clear you're not supposed to, you know, it really is, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Right.
You're supposed to be cheering. If you get loud and abusive, they're going to tell you, ask you nicely and politely to leave, you know, and they make it clear, as you guys do, that they see this as a ministry. It's a way of embedding a certain set of values beyond, you know, a faith in Christianity. What are the values, the character traits that you want to see coming out of this experience, John?
We like to stress fundamentals in the sport and in character and in faith. And if kids are taught, you know, starting when they first begin basketball, a bounce pass and a chest pass, and how to dribble with both hands and those kinds of things.
Not at the same time, obviously.
Not at the same time. And then progress as they grow older to a little more complex skills and tactics and that sort of thing. The same would hold true for what we'd like for them to learn in the way of character, Christian virtues, that sort of thing. These are some things that we've strived at over the years. More recently, we're working on formalizing a bit so that we have a fairly good idea what the outcomes we're looking for are at the end of each season at different age groups, and just help us to put those things in place as we go along. And the same thing with Christian fundamentals. We would like for them to be exposed to who is God? Is he real? What's he like? Mm-hmm. Who's Jesus? What's he all about? What's faith? And what's that all about? And, you know, some of those things are for different ages to take up. But if a kid's in the program for a number of years, we'd like for them to leave at least having heard some scriptures that they can think about.
Diane, what did, you know, you talked about how it made a lifelong impact on your children, and that your youngest now is coming back.
Yes.
You know, and some of it is that he's working with a peewee who, you know, walked up to him and said, "You're my hero. You're my favorite." In terms of how that experience shaped them, you know, what did they gain from the experience, other than a chance to play, obviously, sports that they love? But in terms of shaping their characters, what did they get out of it that they wouldn't have gotten out of just playing football anywhere else?
Absolutely. I would say, most importantly, it goes back to the staff, the coaches that are there. Because one thing I think that I'll just use my youngest son as another example. I remember he was used to being on winning teams. Mm-hmm. And this one particular year, every game, they lost. No matter how hard they played their best. It was a losing season. And I think about what he learned out of that, and we as parents learn from that situation about, you may not always be in a winning situation, but did you play your best? How did you show, how did you respond to a difficult situation. And we know that in life, as we grow up, we're going to face difficult situations. Everything's not going to always be the way we want them to be. But how are we going to respond to adversity? And I know my son reflects those different times. He was a senior at Warren Central High School. And I know he reflected to that particular time when he lost the Carmel. I know he reflected to those difficult times when getting sick and getting injured when you're ready to play and be at your. So those are things you reflect, but you also reflect on coaches who walks you through the process and coaches who are not necessarily about the win, but about helping them to be the best they can be both on and off the field. And there are men that check on these young men. I know that my former employer, we would often recommend TAB Recreation as a place for some of our young people who had behavior issues because they need to develop some social skills that would help them, that will also translate also into this classroom. I know one particular coach, he took it personal. He would check up on the one particular young man, let me see your grades, and even visit him at the school. Those are the type of people have been involved with TAB Rec because they're committed to the vision and the success of TAB Rec.
We are talking about TAB Recreation Program. It's a program sponsored by Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. They're celebrating their 90th anniversary. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Well, it sounds like the coaches are a key component here. We're finding those folks. I know Ben said that you look first and foremost for Christian men. Could you talk a little bit about, A, how you identify who might be good coaches, and then is there some sort of training program or prep that you do? You don't just, I'm assuming in this day and age, obviously, you do background checks and all of that sort of stuff because you have to. But, you know, how you go about identifying who would be good candidates and then preparing them. Ben?
Well, I'll use football as an example since we're in that season right now. Our football coaches or potential coaches, even guys that have coached for many, many years, the first thing that they have to do is come in to my office and sit down with my football commissioner, Steve Somerville, and myself and spend about 45 minutes talking about their philosophy of the game, talking about their past, whether, you know, if they have some issues in their past or
what sort of issues would you be?
Well, you know, if they had some minor problems back when they were in their 20s, you know, some criminal type problems, but, you know, they've moved on. Okay. You're right, we do background checks. And there are some issues, obviously, that, you know, if you've been involved in certain things, there's no way we're going to allow you to coach. But there are
child abuse or something like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. But there are other things that, you know, if they were in your distant past and, you know, you've moved on and have become a successful individual, you know, we will allow you to coach, yeah, but monitor your situation. But they'll spend 45 minutes with Steve and myself, and we'll go through, you know, their life as an individual and their volunteer efforts in the past. And then we require a background check and also coach's certification. For football, we use USA Football, which I think most people are familiar with. It's the youth arm of the NFL, and they have a outstanding heads-up football program that you can certify your coaches under, and it's online, which mm-hmm. makes it a little easier. Easier in terms of access, not easier in terms of doing it, because it takes a good 3 hours to do it, and after each section they quiz you, and you have to I think you have to finish it with at least 80% in order to pass the course.
And what sort of things do they check? I mean, I would guess one of them these days, since we are talking about football, is different ways to tackle, because, you know, kids are being taught differently than when those of us who are beyond childhood
yes.
played football.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The main thing is the new tackling technique, and it's called heads up football, mm-hmm. where you keep your head up and you actually bring your arms up under a person's arms, and you kind of drive them back and then down. Mm-hmm. Instead of the old way, where you use your helmet almost as a weapon,
as a missile,
as a missile, and it's interesting because I watch my son plays for Shortridge High School, and he is going into his senior year, but he had a concussion last year, mm-hmm. and it was because he dropped his head as he was getting ready to tackle somebody, and as I was watching the game, I saw it coming because I mm-hmm. saw him drop his head, and I thought, oh no. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he ended up with a concussion. But that's a big part of the training, the coach certification, is concussion awareness, tackling techniques, hydration, things along that, like simple first aid, but then also X and O's, basic football. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys obviously know football, but it's always nice to remind them of, you know, sort of the basics, the fundamentals.
How hard is it to find good coaches, John?
It's a constant challenge. There are times when a season's about ready to start and you're looking at the need for a lot of coaches, and somehow it all comes together. But I think the other thing is that whoever's in charge, the director, the commissioners, the league supervisors, are always keeping their eye out for potential volunteers. If you see someone that's there regularly, behaving properly, seems interested, you know, you begin a conversation about they, you know, probably have a spot on the field at some point. And so you keep trying to keep fresh supply of troops.
Now, does it have to be men? I mean, you can tell, obviously, Diane here is passionate. And seems to know the sport pretty well. So
I'm on the couch coaching.
But do you have female coaches?
We do. We have female coaches in really all the sports except for football. Mm-hmm. And I think we're only years away from that. We have team moms that are very important to our football teams. I mean, they're the ones that really take care of the players. But some of them really know the game, and we've offered some positions. We've offered coaching positions to some females, but so far
in football,
nobody's taken us up on it yet.
We are talking about the TAB Recreation Program's 90th anniversary here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, in terms of finding those coaches, how many of them are fathers or parents of the kids who play? I would think that's probably your deepest pool, right?
It is. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess that 60% are probably fathers and or mothers, maybe even 70. We have, but we do have a crop of coaches that have been with us for a long time, even up to 20 years.
What keeps them coming back?
Their love for the game and their love for working with children. Matter of fact, in football alone, I know we have four or five coaches that are between 15 and 20 years, and they just love they love the sport, they love the game, and they love kids, working with kids. And obviously those coaches bring another value, I think, because, you know, they're going to continue with us and not jump from one league to another because their child is moving up. And so that's, you know, the continuity within a division is good.
John, are there perils that come with having a parent coaching, though, the child? I mean, I would think detachment there gets to be a little more difficult to achieve.
If in a perfect world, I suppose you would have coaches that are not parents. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that joy with my grandson's baseball team, and It's nice because the coach can operate independently. You know, he doesn't have any issues with his family if he doesn't give proper playing time to his own children or whatever. But that's not reality, especially for recreational sports. We like to see families involved with the kids, and dads and moms, coaches, is the norm.
We'll talk a little bit more about that after we get to the other side of the break. We are talking about TAB Recreation Program's 90th anniversary. It's a program sponsored by Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. My guests are John Byers, Ben Hughes, and Diane Foreman. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the 90th anniversary of the TAB Recreation Program. That's a rec program, recreational sports program sponsored by Tabernacle Presbyterian Church here in Indianapolis at 34th and Central. My guests are John Byers, who was TAB Recreation Director for 20 years, from 1985 to 2006, current director Ben Hughes, and Diane Foreman, who's a mom and longtime TAB Recreation volunteer. Just before we went to the break, John, you were talking about how in a perfect world it might be good not to have parents be coaches. Is there a counseling that you offer as part of the training that, you know, if someone is going to be coaching her or his own child?
When I was director, there was counseling that occurred if there was need as we went along.
Okay. That's called an intervention.
Yeah, that's intervention. You know, if someone's inappropriate, they need to have that brought to their attention, and usually that's all it takes. There have been instances where someone just wasn't cut out to be a volunteer coach, and in those instances, we reluctantly replaced them. But that happens rarely. And most of the parents are there for the right reasons. They want to contribute. They want to impart some worthwhile things to not only their own kids but others. It's a great environment, very diverse and very accepting and very tolerant. And people get along well. So I don't have much trouble.
We're talking about the 90th anniversary of TAB Recreation Program. If you would like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what Jen did. She's a listener who sent us an email. She sent the email to nolimits@wfyi.org, and her email says, roughly how many of the kids participating come from poverty? Isn't that a good way to keep kids off the streets and give them productive things to do, Ben? Do you collect those statistics, those numbers?
We do not. Based on the schools in our area, like School 48 and 60, and we know that School 48 is almost 100% free lunch, free breakfast, free lunch. I don't know the statistics for School 60, but a lot of our kids come from those schools. A large percentage of the kids are probably come from families that are in poverty. I'm sorry.
Or have some financial need.
And
then the other part is that part of the point is to give them a productive alternative.
I certainly think that that is part of our mission is to give kids a place to go and something to do, not only within structured programs, but we also have open gym time, or we have a group of kids that just kind of hang around that are there all the time, and usually they hang with our chaplain and. They do nothing but sit around and talk to us because they really want adults to talk to.
That's right.
And or they'll play chess, they'll go out and shoot baskets, or they'll sit and watch a little TV.
we're talking about the 90th anniversary here, and that question about productive, we probably ought to talk about the kids who are there. How young can a child start at Tab Rec?
4 years old for all programs except football. Football starts at 6.
Yeah, they're not much bigger than
yeah,
football.
Yeah, they start at 6, okay. And even that seems a little young.
So. Yeah, okay, so they start at 4, and when do they age out? I mean, what's the top end?
The majority of our programs stop at 12. We do have some programs, again, football, that goes up to 14. We are looking into the possibility of doing some programming for high school kids. Mm-hmm. We just recently in May did 3 Fridays in a row did a 7-on-7 tournament for high school / early college young men, and it was so well received that we're considering doing more of that in the future.
Okay, and if you want to get involved, if you're listening to this and you think, okay, I want my child to be part of this, how would they go about that?
If you go onto our website, tabrecreation.org, you'll find my telephone number, my office number, and my cell phone number, and also my email address. And any of those ways are a good way to get a hold of me, and we'll talk and figure out how to get you involved.
Go ahead and give the URL again, because people, much as I wish they would, they don't sit listening to the radio and this program.
www.tabrecreation.org.
And can they just sign up online there?
They can.
Okay,
yes.
So you could just go through the website.
Yes. We now have, as of about 2 months ago, we have online registration and for both volunteers and participants.
Okay. I'm going to ask, because this is a significant, and I can tell from talking to all three of you that you really love doing this. I'd like to ask, starting with John, I think he's the first one to get involved in this. What brought you to it? What brought you to it?
The recreation program. When my son was 6 years old, I went to the Tab field on the very first night of soccer, and like many parents, I hadn't registered yet. And I wanted to see if he could still get on a team. And Buzz Fultz was the soccer commissioner at that time, and Russ Earl was the director. So I went to the registration window at the concession stand, and Russ said, "You need to see that man right over there, Buzz Fultz." So I talked with Buzz, and he said, "Would you be willing to help us out in some capacity?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, I suppose. I'm happy to help out." So he said, "Okay, we'll put your son on a team." So I went and sat in the bleachers with everyone else, and in a little while they went over the PA system, started announcing the teams. The first team that was called was the Bees, and the coach was John Byers. I wonder what they would have done if I hadn't showed up here.
Okay, so clearly
I was not a member
advanced,
of the church.
Advanced planning was not a big part of it. Right. So you got drawn in through, and how long was it then before you became the director?
Well, let's see. That was in 79. I became director in 85, so, you know, a few years. And in the interim, I found my way into the worshiping fellowship of the church. Over the years, people have said that the recreation program is, sometimes they say it's the welcome mat to the church, you know, welcoming people to get to know us. And sometimes they say it's like the front porch where people come and stop by and make friends and ultimately make their way into the house. And some say the side door. That was it for me. I came into the congregation through the side door of recreation.
Ben, what brought you?
A little, almost similar. It was similar to what John's story is. In 1992, my brother was the basketball commissioner. John was the director at the time, and my brother calls me up and says, "I have to go take care of something. Could you come over and sit in for me for an hour or two?" And I said, "Sure, I'll come on over." And I did, and fell in love with it. And shortly thereafter, talked to John a little more about the program. And the first sport I started coaching was soccer, and I think that was probably in 93. My daughter was born in 91, so she didn't start actually in the program until 95 or 96. I spent the next 22 years, well, really from 92 or 93 to 2006 as a volunteer. A short stint with John as a part-time employee. Well, it probably wasn't more than 5 or 6 months. And then John decided to take a position with the Sports Corporation. And even though I was a full-time employee at Eli Lilly and Company at the time, and this is 2006, without really giving it any thought, I said, John, I really want that job. And
what was it that was so appealing?
I love sports. I love working with kids, and I can see the importance of sports in kids' lives. And it was, for me, it was kind of a no-brainer. It was
because I got to believe that you did not take an income step up.
No, and my wife is still questioning me on that. I was celebrating my 30th year at Lilly. And I started there when I was 20, and was really almost kind of at the peak of my career. And I loved what I did at Lilly, so it had nothing to do with Lilly. It just was a new opportunity. And what I did was I tested God. I said, "Listen, God, I can't leave Lilly unless I can pay off all my bills." And so, you know, Lilly was offering some retirement packages at the time, and I thought, you know, I'm in research, and nobody's offering research anything, but they are in production. So I said, God, if you'll make it such that they'll offer me a retirement package, I will leave. 2 months later, we were the only research group that was offered a package, and I held to my statement and took the package and left and haven't looked back since.
Oh, that's a fun story. Diane, I'm going to ask you a variation on it, because you told us at the top of the hour that, you know, your husband had gone through the program, yes, and that's the reason. But you've also, your youngest is now 20, which means, you know, we're at least 6 and probably 8 years beyond the point where, what keeps you coming back? I mean, why do you know, most people, as John said, you know, when they're involved as a volunteer coach or doing something like that, when the kids move on, they move on too.
Nieces, nephews, cousins. Okay. I mean, we continue. It's a, you know, we are definitely committed to TAB and the family, and we just love the program and what they offer. It's just wonderful. So we send everybody. Everybody goes through TAB. I have 2 grandchildren, and they're not of age yet. Okay. But you better believe the oldest one, Ari, has her soccer shoes ready. She helps her paw on the field every now and then. So we're getting ready for that next generation to ready to go. So we're excited. We just love TAB.
We all have grandchildren now. my whole staff, there's only 3 of us, but we all have new grandbabies. And all of us cannot wait till our grandbabies start playing.
In terms of the budget, I mean, you talk about a staff of 3. I mean, how big a program is this? I mean, how much money does it take to run this?
Well, the program itself is run basically through registration fees. And I will tell you that, you know, we scholarship a large amount of those fees.
It means you waive them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that is true, John.
I know you're speaking the euphemism there.
Yes.
I wanted to cut through
it.
Okay.
The staff is actually paid by the church.
Okay.
And if it wasn't for Tabernacle Presbyterian Church's commitment to recreation, there wouldn't be a TAB recreation because there's no way that the program itself could come up with that kind of money.
Do you have a budget? I mean, roughly.
We do. Our budget is roughly $80,000 a year.
Excluding salaries.
Excluding
salaries, yes, for the 3 people. We've gotten an email comment from Nancy. It says, it should be noted that TAB Sports hosted an outside program, Freewheeling Community Bikes, for over 4 years.
Yes.
What a gift to the community. Tell me what that was, Diane. You obviously were excited about it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program. Basically, it was an opportunity for young people to come in and learn how to repair a bike, build a bike, and then they wind up owning that bike. Mm-hmm. So it was a great resource, and it's really cool when we were sharing some other information the other day about the 90th anniversary, the first thing the kid says, yeah, I know, I went to freewheeling. So they knew exactly the connection there. But it's a great program for young people to learn another skill and to put in some earn. They weren't given a bike. They earned that bike by building it and repairing it, and then they own it.
Is it still in existence, or is it?
It is. Okay. We actually gave them some space right outside the gymnasium in our indoor concession for quite a number of years, about 4 years. And then they were fortunate enough to find a building that's just on the southeast corner of Central and 34th Street.
Okay, so but it's still associated with the church, right?
It is not.
It is not.
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
so
it's
so
entity it, now.
It launched. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So where does it go? We've talked about the first 90 years. Where do you see it going, you know, in the second 90? I'll start with you, Ben.
I think the next, I mean, it's going to be interesting to really see what happens in the next 90 years, because the neighborhood, and you alluded to this earlier, mm-hmm. the neighborhood is changing again. And I don't, you know, who knows what the evolution, the total evolution is going to be, but TAB Recreation, I think, will be there for another 90 years. It might be more similar to the way it was back before the 60s, maybe, in the future, or it might continue as is. But I think it will still be a popular program.
We've gotten a tweet, a question that's pretty one I should have asked, actually. Will there be 90th anniversary events? How are you marking the birthday, John?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
September 13th, that's a Saturday from 11 until 2. We have a big event planned, which will have sort of a three-ring circus. Obviously, we still have lots of kids that are playing sports, and in the fall, as Ben mentioned, we have soccer, football, and cheerleading, all of which will be playing mini games, sort of a little jamboree format on the athletic field. So all those families will look forward to the day. We'll have a big street festival. We're closing 34th Street from Central Avenue to Washington Boulevard. We have, I think, close to 20 partners, folks that we work with in the community, organizations like Freewheel and Community Bikes and the National Junior Tennis League, and just a long list of folks that'll bring fun games and activities to our street festival. We'll have food and drink and music and dresses from some of the dignitaries and celebrities. And in the gym, we'll have a 90-year, nine-decade display of TAB Rec history, and this will be photos and artifacts that cover the walls all the way around the gym.
And Ben, if people want to come either to that ceremony, that birthday party, or they just want to get involved in TAB Rec, how do they do that again? What's the URL?
Go to www.tabrecreation.org, and you'll see Ben Hughes' phone numbers, both my cell and my office phone there, or my email address.
Well,
and
they can
go to the church website as well, which is just tabpres.org, and there they'll find a link to the event.
I'd like to thank you all for joining us. It's been a fascinating hour. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.